Savior, I come to Thee on the last. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. Amen. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. You got the Bible. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Romans. You may be seated. I've had, 2 weeks of preaching at Chi Lai several times, several messages that I'd like to rehearse with you at the Preacher's Fellowship. Again, we've had several insights that are important and good. And so I've outlined, again, here we are in March. Wow, this is what, March 2nd? So we're in March, and March has 5 Sundays in it, so I get one of them extra Sundays to go ahead and teach anything I want, I suppose. But I've got outline of 4 anyway that need to be preached here. I probably won't get to all of them. Each of these messages is beyond the pale. Unless you're Irish, of course, we're all Irish in March, right? So unless we're Irish, we don't understand beyond the pale. But there is a place in Eastern Ireland where the law never got to. England, again, controlled Ireland, and they imposed their law. And so the place where the law never got to, and they lived as barbarians out beyond this place called the pale, with no laws or no controls, just vicious tyranny again in all of their rural area there, and that's called the pale again. And so there are things in life today that I want to warn about that go beyond the pale. I got 4 messages outlined, 2 of them I don't need to preach. One of them is the fact that the world is round, okay? Actual Christians, I use air quotes for that, try to teach otherwise, and that is what a reprobate mind. Once they get stuck down that theme, they won't come back again. And I've spent many a time arguing obvious logic, and so that's one of them that's beyond the pale. The other is the KJV Bible is the Word of God, and the modernist Bibles. And so any one of these that go beyond the pale, you can argue with me till you're blue in the face, but I will not be moved, all right, off of our position here on these. The next two, when I mentioned them, I probably should mention that there have been families that stood up in the middle of church and stomped, gathered all their families and stomped out because these two topics were preached again. But again, for me, they're beyond the pale. They're not something that anyone's going to argue me out of. The Word of God is very clear on these. And so one of them that I'll probably preach next week is abstinence from alcohol. Jesus never made, never served, never drank strong drink. And neither should we. And so, again, I'll probably get to that one. I've never really preached it before. I heard it again preached at Chi Lai. And sure enough, a family got up and stomped out of the service, gathered their kids, and stomped out because this was preached. Because Christians, again, I'm using air quotes here, say, that just ain't true, that it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. And so that's not what the Bible teaches at all, and we'll look at those verses. But this next one is so pertinent, and my brother Randy King just nailed it in the Preacher's Fellowship up here, and I thought, boy, all of that needs to be said out loud here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And so, best I can, I'll say it out loud here. And that's that Jesus gets us. Have you heard that before? Jesus gets us. And I want to go ahead and expose the lie that's entangled in that ideology. And again, that's something that's accepted by Christians. In fact, let me stop and say the majority of Christianity, the majority of Protestant churches, including about six of them that I drive by, will have signs out in the morning that say that. Again, the idea is that Jesus gets us where we're at. That's a truth, but they've misapplied that so horribly, so vilely, that I want to go ahead and just give us a good defense for why that's not true when you see it on TV, when you see the ads floating around. Romans chapter 1 is the first 20 verses, let's say. I'm not going to read. We're going to jump in on verse 21. Romans chapter 1 teaches that man is without excuse. It teaches that I don't care who the atheist is who pillows their head, they know down in their heart that there is a God. And they know down in their heart that they're going to come up short on judgment day. Bible says in them verses there that everybody knows that. That's something that God has instilled in every one of us. And again, when they climbed off the ark and started regenerating and filling the earth with nations, every one of those nations, again, carried some form of worship with them, as horrible as some of it became. But they'd all know that there is a God in heaven. And so God knows. Our God has instilled in man that knowledge. And so I like to say God does not believe in atheists. Because again, he knows. And that them verses right there go on further when you combine them with God trying the reins of every man, with every man knows that there is a Christ, and Christ has lightened every heart that's born in this world. Again, man is without excuse, is the first few verses of that. And so we're going to take up our text in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and see a portrayal of the depravity of man. I got a picture of a little stepladder in the margin of my Bible here with seven steps away from God. And so let's read them in Romans chapter 1. Let's do this. We're all comfortable. Let's stand and for the reading of God's Word. And you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's Holy Word, Romans chapter 1, to understand what is not true about God gets us. Jesus gets us. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, and this is speaking of all of mankind in general. I like to think it's speaking of mankind in nations, and I like to think that it's speaking of mankind individually. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, capital C, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet or appropriate. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for its clarity, even about this subject. And pray, Father, again that you'd help us to love sinners as much as you, and to recognize sin as much as you. And we'll praise you now and thank you for your touch on our lives. Give us wisdom to use these truths again in our outreach to this world, that we could be your witnesses with the compassion of your Son in our lives. And we'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. There's this movement in the commercials that are on TV that Jesus gets us. And I have to admit, they're very powerful and they're very well thought out, well laid out. And they're very deceptive. As near as I could tell, Hobby Lobby is the one who started this theme, a Christian company. And so these, quote, Christian ads, again, are put out, again, I'm not going to say they're put out innocently with good intent. I don't believe they are. I believe, again, they're put out right from the pits of hell. And I don't care who it is that's sponsoring them. They are indeed an abomination. They are beyond the pale, as I said before, as far as sin goes. And so I've already covered again how bad it is. Let's go ahead and look at a couple things. I wrote in a book on sin, The Doctrine of Sin, one of my systematic theology volumes, covers the genesis of sin. And in there I distinguished, again, two types of sin. One is for Israel. And Israel sinned in that they knew God, they saw God, they heard from God, they were separated from the world, separated from Egypt, and yet they worshipped false gods. And so God tells the result of that. God tells how much he hates that. If you've read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you have major prophets that deal with the fact that God destroyed the nation of Israel, put them out of the land because of his hatred for their love of idolatry. And so we have, again, ample charge, and we've studied all of that, and are very familiar with all of that. But God has also given us Sigint, has also given a sign about how much he hates sodomy. America, not only America, the world has lost that sign, and I'll bring it up here today, that there is a place that used to be the valley of the Jordan Valley used to be like the garden of the Lord. Look it up. When Lot looked on that land over there, he looked at the Jordan Valley, and he looked at it, and the Bible describes that that looked like the garden of God. That was a plush, lush land to live in. But today, it is the Dead Sea. What was the transition? How did it turn from the garden of God in a lush valley into brimstone 4 miles deep into the earth? And so they dig down, and that's all they find. For 4 miles deep into the earth, under that valley right now, there is brimstone. And so further, that is the lowest place on the earth. And so these signs were given, and the Bible says, I'm doing this. God says, I'm doing this. So you'll never forget how much I hate sodomy. And you'll never forget how much I hate this fornication. And he's given us that memorable symbol that has been, for all intents and purposes, erased from the minds of mankind. But again, understand, God hates that sin. And so for the civilized nation, let's call that Israel, for the nation that had God's law, the worst sin that they could commit, and the bottom of the barrel for them, which well beyond the pale, as I said, for Israel, is that they would turn their back on God and bow down and pray to false gods. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. But for the heathen nations, the nations that did not get the laws of God, the nations, again, that grew up with a consciousness of God that's talked about in Romans chapter 1, that they knew that there was a God, and they knew that there was things required of them in His sight. Those nations that were scattered in Genesis chapter 11 when they tried to make up their own false God and false religion system, those heathen nations, there's no greater sin than the sin of sodomy, homosexuality. And so, again, that's beyond the pale here. And again, we see the portrayal of that is, again, portrayed there in the Dead Sea. That's how much God hates such a sin. Fornication. And I've taught this at an early age, and it's always helped me to remember what is fornication. And people talk about fornication is different than adultery. And listen, fornication is any sin, sexual sin, that's foreign to what God intends. And so that's a good way to remember it. That rhymes with fornication. It's foreign to what God's purpose is. And there's no sin more foreign to what God's purposes are than a man being with a man. And listen, there is no sin that's more promoted by the Democratic Party in America than that sin right there. Everything you see about transsexuals and their promotion of that is definitely and just a rebellion against God to go deepest into the sin. If you've been a registered Democrat all your life, I suggest you stop that and get that fixed. I don't want to wax political here, but listen, everything that we've seen that's being overthrown in America right now under a new president is the vilest of sin that has we've been led down this garden path by Joe Biden, by the whole Democratic Party, by the whole liberal agenda. And again, understand that they are promoting this. We have a freedom. Man has a freedom to fantasize that I am anything that I want to be. And you can have your vilest dream. But listen, when they pass laws in America that says, hey, you have got to go along with that guy's dream, and you've got to pretend with him that he is who he pretends to be. Listen, we've crossed out of freedom. We've crossed out of rights, and we have entered into forcing people to be woke, forcing people to be DEI that needs to DIE. And again, understand that in America, that stuff has been promoted to where half of our population agrees with it. They, again, agree that we ought to, again, promote this transsexual idea. I almost hate even using that. I will not use the letters unless they stand for liberty, guns, Bibles, and Trump. I like that, okay? But that's about it for putting the letters to them. Again, and I go back to the old nature that this stuff is queer. It is not normal. It is abnormal. And again, it is done in rebellion of God. And so here we have this idea that Jesus gets us. This vile, abominable teaching of, quote, Christians in these ads is that Jesus, our high priest, was tempted in all points like as we are. And that's right out of Hebrews 4:14. He was tempted in sodomy, they suppose. He was tempted in pedophilia. In fact, they suppose that Jesus was a sodomite. They suppose that Jesus was a transvestite. They suppose that Jesus was a transsexual. And they suppose that Jesus fondled children. And Jesus gets us because he's one of us. So every time you see that ad on TV, I want you to come to mind that this is the most vile thing that they could teach about our Lord Jesus Christ. That he gets us because he was a pedophile and he fondled children. And I'll make that the only thing I'll mention here today, because the others are so vulgar that I will not mention them from the pulpit. But that's what they believe Jesus was, and that's what their Christians, ladies in their black robes and their collars on backwards, are publicly teaching this, that's what Jesus was. And again, we need to understand that we don't need to go there. We dare not go there. Female clergies with a black robe dedicated Worcester, Massachusetts as a sanctuary city for transvestites. And there they said that if Jesus were here, he would be a transvestite. He would be a transsexual. Female clergies in a black robe, Protestant clergies ordained by their church, support and were there at the dedication when Sacramento, California dedicated themselves as a transgender sanctuary city. And there they said those things about my Lord and Savior. Whenever I reference what they said about Jesus here, I at least put a small G on it, because that's not my Jesus. And we need to understand the abominations of what Christians are teaching. Listen, God was angry with Israel because they saw him. They knew him. And they again turned their back on him. And listen, the same abominations going on in our nation right now. That Christianity, clergy in our churches, religions have turned their back on God. And that's worse than the world. I don't mind the world living with their mind in the gutter like that. You'd expect that. But again, when they claim the name of Christianity, listen, a lady minister in a Protestant church donned her black robe and put her collar on backwards and went to the dedication service of a transsexual city called Ithaca, New York. And there they dedicated that because Jesus gets us. Well, I want you to understand how rampant this is and how much it's going to start touching our everyday life, as it already has. I want you to understand how much of this has been exported by our own government with your tax dollars. That they're, again, endorsing this, promoting this around the world. And that should leave such a vulgar taste in our mouth here that we say, I ain't going to stand it anymore. So what are you going to do about it? Listen, we need to preach Jesus and preach Him crucified. And understand that these things are not what Jesus gets us as through these verses that they abuse and misuse. Brother Randy King thinks outside of the box. Turn with me to Jeremiah 32, and let me just give you this reference, and I'll never look at these verses again. Now, I always looked at them kind of strange. In fact, when we started reading our Bibles, and Sandy, John and Sandy started reading their Bible through the whole Old Testament. Sandy said, I've never read the Old Testament before. And I loved when Sandy first took her reading through the Old Testament. Because she'd call up, and whenever I go over and stop and visit, she'd have some of the most obscure questions that... you picture someone who's never read of genocide in the Old Testament, and what their reaction is going to be. And Sandy had them all. I love visiting with Sandy over these things. And one day she called me over and said, hey, look at this verse in Jeremiah 32. And I looked at it, and I didn't like it, nor comprehend it. But here, God is giving answer for what Israel had done wrong. Let's pick it up in verse, where did I want to get to here? Let's start in verse 32. Because of all the evil, I'm in Jeremiah 32:32. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah. Remember, there's two nations here, Israel and Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned unto me with the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. Listen, when it comes to describing the vile actions of people, Jeremiah here kind of tops the cake right here. This is God's description, given how vile and how much he looked at this. And notice that he says, they did this to push me to wrath. We just read on the book of Numbers how many times God was pushed to wrath because of a bunch of murmuring Israelites. Now here they've gone full-fledged against him in all of their actions. Verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Unto Molech they were offering their own children as sacrifices to false gods. And then look what it says in verse 35, which I commanded them not. And then it says this, neither came it into my mind. I want you to know that God is omniscient. He knows all things. But here they were committing a sin that God admits that, hey, I never thought they would go this far. God never imagined that people would be this vile. And this is a God who saw that the thoughts and hearts of man was only evil continually over in Genesis chapter 6 before he wiped out the whole world and saved Noah and his three sons and their families alive. And so, notice here, we have a verse, and this don't fit into our theology books that well, because God knows everything, but here it says, and now God says, hey, this vile sin never came to mind. And so, hold that thought, and let's jump over to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look at the verses where that they use, they being apostate Christians, putting ads on television, that they use again to suppose that, hey, Jesus gets us. We're Sodomites, we're proud of it, we have a pride month and everything, and Jesus gets us. Hebrews 4, verses 14 down through the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me pause right there and say, listen, the vile behavior of the nation of Israel sacrificing their own children to a false god never came into God's mind. And I'd like to peradventure right here that the vile sin that is going on in sodomy, in the things that God destroyed that whole Jordan Valley, made it the lowest place on earth, and made fire and brimstone come down to a depth of 4 miles deep under the lowest place on earth. Listen, I contend that such a sin never came to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted, here it says he was tempted with our infirmities. But look at the last part that they leave off. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Let me go ahead and say that for us, after listening to Jesus' commands in Matthew chapter 5, about that if you think it in your mind, you're guilty of that sin. Again, understand here that there's some vile things going on in our society. And even as we saw in the verses, even having pleasure in them that do them is a vile sin before God. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in time of need. Listen, this message that I'm preaching, this truth that I'm giving right here, there have been in Baptist churches families that gathered their kids and stood up and stomped out of the church, never to come back again. In our own life, in our own family, we've got queers, we've got homosexual lifestyles, we've got things going on. And again, I don't have all the answers to how to deal with that, except for the fact that it is sin and it will always be sin. When I was a kid, they taught at Tuscarora Baptist Church that a reprobate mind could never be reached. And so we're taught that, hey, if someone's entered a homosexual lifestyle, they're beyond salvation. They cannot be saved. I don't believe that's true. I believe, again, that God can save anybody. And there's no vile sin that's more vile than God could reach down and save them. But listen, they still need salvation. It isn't like God gets them and God accepts that. He does not. And again, I would say with Brother Randy King that, hey, this sin never comes to God's mind. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, suffer the little children come unto me. Listen, that was not a vile thought in life. That was not a vile act that he was committing. Turn with me also to Hebrews chapter 7. Just over a page. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, down through 28. The book of Hebrews, again, we have a high priest given to us. And that high priest was made human. He was made flesh and blood. And that's the importance of that. And that's the emphasis of that, that it was God in the flesh. And here he's called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. I should mention that in Hebrews chapter 6, And five, we're told, hey, we're going to cover some real meaty topics right now. And if all you're used to is just milk of the word, then shame on you. Grow up and get used to the meat of the word. And here we're in the middle of the meat of the word, where Melchizedek is the priest that's ordered here, or that Christ is ordered after the this priesthood. So we're in the middle of that. Look at chapter 7 and down to verse 22. Let's back up to verse 21, parentheses. For the priests were made without an oath, but this was with an oath by him that said unto them, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so we're seeing a difference in the order of Christ as our high priest. Verse 22, but so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy. Notice some attributes of Christ here, as he is human, and yet he is our high priest, and he is touched with our infirmities because he was in the flesh, as it were, because he who is holy, who is harmless, who is undefiled, who is separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for our own sins, or his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Listen, when Jesus was in the flesh, he was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was made higher than the heavens. And he was not made to get us in our sin. He was not tempted. We see the temptation that he was given there by Satan himself, and that's portrayed on purpose. And so he was not tempted with the sexual sins that mankind is burdened with, and that the United States has been promoting here as a new order, a new social order. And so again, when you see an ad that says Jesus gets us, I want us to understand very clearly, if you have homosexual kin in your family, understand that God loves them. And that God can change their lives when they want to be changed, but not until. And again, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that whosoever. It's a big one. And it included Paul. Remember Paul, who said he was the vilest of sinners because he, as an Israelite, went against worship of God himself, even following after the pattern given by his forefathers, rebuked in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But again, understand here, we have a rebuke to heathen nations that says, hey, fornication is an abomination to God. And it still is. And it will be. And Jesus was not in that particular place where he, again, was tempted in that abominable sin. And we need to understand that. So when you see the ad, I know it's supposedly sponsored by Christians. But listen, Christians do some things now in the name of their church that's an abomination to God. And we can see it without. And so let's be mindful of that and be careful of that to understand that He gets us because He died for us. And He knows the cost and price of sin. Father, praise You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You again that He is holy, undefiled, without sin, and was here on this earth. And Father, I thank You and praise You that we could keep Him in that position of holiness even in our lives. And we'll praise You and thank You for helping us to be witnesses to those that are tangled in such vile sin as well. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's sing a verse of Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. I think that's a fitting closing. H-I-J. Holy, Holy, Holy. Page 9 in our song books. Let's stand and we'll dismiss in song. Page 9 in our songbooks. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall arise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Father, praise You. Thank You for Your holiness. Father, may we be holy. And we'll praise You and thank You for Your blessing, Your touch on our lives as we walk into a new week. Father, may we walk in holiness. May we walk as witnesses of Your saving grace. We'll ask in the name of Christ for Your blessing. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.